Here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the New York Giants. This is the Giants Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Giants Wire editor Dan Benton.
Hey there, thanks for joining us. Welcome into the show. Week 16, Dan, right near the end of the regular season, Christmas weekend. Well, how are Giants fans feeling right now heading into Christmas weekend, I guess? Maybe that's where I should lead this thing off. Probably not well. It's not a Merry Christmas for a lot of Giants fans.
I think most Giants fans at this point are just kept out. You know, there are some that are still emotionally entangled in the madness that's occurring in East Rutherford, but the majority at this point are just kind of going through the motions and just waiting to see what comes next. I think there's a level of excitement over the draft. There's a level of speculation over the, you know, incoming GM change that seems all but inevitable, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Other than that, I think people are just checked out. They're ready to go into the weekend, enjoy a couple days. The Giants have Friday and Saturday off, so I think fans and writers alike are anxious just to get a couple days away from the team and then kind of come back on Sunday and just grind out the last few weeks of the season.
It sounds like you, Dan, could use a couple days away from the team. No covering
the
team.
I'm excited to check out for a couple days, believe me.
Well, unfortunately, one of the most popular tweets and posts on Giants Wire this past week was this story about Fan Appreciation Day and about how season ticket holders were offered a free medium soft drink. And this thing just went crazy, right? And I think my reaction, I was really cracking up, like reading through the comments and stuff and reading through your stuff on this. And really my take was like, unless there's some whiskey in that soda, it's not enough to get through these Giants games. But Giants fans really got a kick out of that, right? That was like, you know, meme city. And people were kind of pissed, right? That this was their you know, gift to fans, showing their appreciation for them.
I think there was a level of frustration, but I think more than that, people were just kind of like, you know, dumbfounded. Like, are you actually serious? Like, how tone deaf of an organization do you have to be? Like, it comes across as a poverty franchise when your idea of a Fan Appreciation Day is on a day when 75% of the people in attendance are going to be Dallas Cowboys fans, and then you don't even sprinkle a large Pepsi. It's just like, hey, here's a medium cup of ice with a few dribbles of warm Pepsi inside, and thanks for being a fan and spend thousands of dollars to watch this trash for the last 8 years. So, yeah, there was certainly a level of frustration, but I think, like I said, more than that, there was just kind of people that were laughing like, you know, just like I said, dumbfounded. They could not believe that the Giants could be that out of touch with reality, that they somehow thought that was going to be, received positively in the middle of this season, in the middle of this stretch where they argue, not arguably, they are, in fact, the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, it was comical. There's no doubt. That's the perfect way to put it. Comical. And it's getting more and more comical by the week. I mean, it feels like it's Jake Fromm time, right? In East Rutherford, Dan, is that what we're, it's time to embrace Jake Fromm? I mean, Mike Glennon, I still think he's the guy, he should be playing quarterback for you if you're the Giants, but he was so freaking bad in this game against the Cowboys that even I, you know, Dan, you know, for 2 weeks I've been ranting about how crappy Jake Fromm is, how he shouldn't play for the Giants, but I think it might be time for us to embrace him. Fromm, I think it's Fromm time.
Listen, if he can pick up a few more plays throughout this week, add to his wealth of knowledge when it comes to the Giants offensive system, if he can run, you know, a 2-minute drill, if he can run the scripted opening series, if he develops any kind of rapport with the receivers, backs, and tight ends, he's got to play. Because, and I honestly can't believe that I'm saying this because I did not anticipate this. One, I really didn't think that, you know, the backup to the backup to the backup who couldn't make the Giants practice squad would be here and be their best option at quarterback. But it's been that kind of year. So, you know, here we are. And Glennon, you know, there's no sugarcoating it. He played arguably one of the worst quarterback games I've ever seen in my entire life. The interceptions that he was throwing were just facepalm worthy. Like, it was almost like the Giants handed out a free medium Pepsi or something. It was so bad. It was that level of just, I can't believe what I'm seeing. And, you know, Fromm came in, he had a couple quick completions, you know, granted it was against a prevent defense and garbage time, but You know, at least he was able to put it on the receivers. At least the receivers were able to make a couple plays for him. I mean, the arm is noodly, unbelievably noodly. But, I mean, if he could put it up there and Galladay can make a couple plays, and so be it. At this point, let's be honest, what the hell difference does it make? You know, if putting Fromm in there is what gets Giants fans engaged a little bit and watching it, you know, then so be it, because that's the best that the Giants have to hope for right now.
It's the best of both worlds, because if you put Fromm in, the offense is going to continue to suck. I mean, he's just not good. But we're 4-10, right? I mean, the best thing right now for the Giants is to tank it out. Now, it is a little bit awkward because of everything that happened last year. Giants, Philly, Joe Judge saying he would never tank. But isn't that where we're at? Like, the Giants right now have back-to-back picks, number 5 and number 6 overall in the draft next year, Dan. They're holding their pick and the Bears pick. And right now, like, start Jake Fromm. Let's quote unquote have a look at him, even though we know what we're going to see. There's no future with Jake Fromm, but we're just going to put him in there, and he could help us secure these really good draft picks, right? And again, yeah, like you said, maybe the fans are excited, they want to see Jake Fromm. All right, let's see it. I promise you, he's going to suck. But I'm at the point now where it's like, let's just let this thing tailspin, let it play its way out. Let's get these really good draft picks. Let's get the new GM in here. Let's try to fix the team.
I mean, that's essentially where they are. I don't think they're going to tank. I still think that they're going to put in 100% effort on the field. I still think that Joe Judge is going to do everything he can to try and win. I think if Fromm starts, he genuinely believes that Fromm puts the offense in a better position to score points and potentially win a game. And it's almost surreal to be having this actual conversation right now about Jake Fromm and Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
But that's where we are. So, you know, I understand people that are going to look at it and be like, oh, Judge is going back. And what he said last year, he's going to tank by putting Fromm in. I actually don't think that's the case. You know, I stand corrected. There's a little egg on my face, but it does turn out to be the fact that Fromm appears to be a more functional quarterback than Mike Glennon. And granted, that is not saying much and not anything you can write home about, but, you know, that's where these Giants are at. So putting Fromm in, I wouldn't say that they're tanking. I actually think that they're trying to win games.
Yeah, I'm not ready to say that Fromm is better than Glennon yet. I don't know. I think if Fromm played 4 quarters against that Dallas defense, it would have been ugly. It would have been maybe not that ugly. Glennon played horrible, but it still would have been ugly. But yeah, I think the way we put this is, I mean, tank's not quite the right word. I agree with you, Dan. They're going to try to win. They're going to play. But it's like inadvertently tanking or something. It's like, I don't know what the word is. It's like, you're going to put Fromm in there. You're not going to win, but you're not really tanking because you're trying to win, but you're not going to win. It's kind of, I don't know how to phrase that. Someone smarter than me is going to have to do that.
What it is a no-win situation.
Yeah. It's
essentially
just
what it is at this point. Like, I mean, look at the people that they're putting on the field. And, you know, not to say that he, you know, had a bad game, because he didn't. I thought he actually played well. But the Giants are putting players like Jalen Smith in at linebacker, Jake Fromm in at quarterback. Like, this is not the makeup of a team that's in a good place right now.
Yeah. And I have some thoughts and questions on Jalen Smith that we'll get to here in a little bit, but I have to do this, Dan, before we hit our first break. The latest on the next Giants general manager, there's been some reports out there, and it sounds like Kevin Abrams will be, quote, strongly considered. So this is something that you have been talking about all year, but basically you've been talking about it, saying this better not happen, and it sounds like this is strongly being considered to happen. So I'll just give you the floor for a minute here to kind of vent about Kevin Abrams possibly being the next Giants GM.
I wish there was any scenario in life where I could say I was surprised by how things are beginning to play out here. The one thing I will say is, if you had listened to this podcast this year for the first time ever, honest to God, you would think that we're 2 Nostradamuses on here or something.
Well, at least you.
I think the problem is, it isn't that I have this wealth of knowledge about the Giants and I'm never wrong. I think it's more, the reality is more steeped in the fact that the Giants are remarkably predictable as a franchise at this point, almost to a laughable standard that you can see coming if you're at all in tune with what this organization has done, is doing, where they're going. It actually does seem obvious, even now in hindsight, looking back, it was like, yeah, you know, that seemed like one of the most realistic outcomes. Now, granted, it's not, you know, it's not a shoo-in that Abrams is going to, you know, get hired as the general manager. But like I've been saying, if the Giants are firmly committed to Joe Judge, and Joe Judge is firmly committed to Daniel Jones, which he said this week, again, multiple times, then your pool of potential GM replacements for Dave Gettleman is going to be shallow. That's just all there is to it. I know that, you know, some people want to poo-poo it and dismiss that. Oh, a general manager of the New York Giants is this, you know, fantastic, otherworldly job. And once upon a time, that may have been true. That's not the case anymore. And some fresh, new, young GM isn't going to look at this and be like, I want to come in with my hands completely tied, ownership meddling, head coach in complete control, quarterback that I can't touch. So realistically, when you look at that scenario that's playing out, maybe even not so much that it's an obvious choice, but maybe Abrams actually is the best choice if that's going to be the scenario that you're going to allow to play out. I don't think it's a good one. I've been on record saying that vehemently, that I don't think that's a good idea. But if you're going to do a half rebuild, you might as well get someone in there that's comfortable with the situation and is going to ride along with it, because otherwise you're going to have all kinds of conflict and tension. And then a year from now, we'll be having this conversation. It's time for Judge to go. New GM's got to come in.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's going to play out no matter what, unfortunately. That's just the nature of half rebuild. So unless John Mara and Steve Tisch suddenly, you know, shift on a dime and decide to just blow the whole thing up and rebuild it, quarterback, head coach, general manager, assistant general manager, scouting, et cetera, the most realistic scenario and probably the best for the franchise, as bad as it would be, is just to promote Kevin Abrams.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of fans out there, just they just want something to change. And, you know, you look up, I mean, Abrams, it feels like he's been around the organization forever, right? And he has. He's been with the organization for 23 years. He's been the assistant GM for 20 years, Dan. So you promote him, and it's like, what the hell changes? He's been the assistant. And didn't he was interviewed along with Gettleman for the GM job, and they went with Gettleman, right?
He was. Yeah. And he was, and he actually served after Jerry Reese was fired. He was the one that was promoted to interim general manager.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it feels like he's been around forever. So what changes? Who the hell knows? Probably not much. But all right, so if maybe the Giants go external, and maybe they surprise us, go external to replace Dave Gettleman, who would top Dan's wish list? We'll ask him that in our questions of the week right after this.
This is the Tipico Sportsbook Fantasy Minute. Let's make this interesting.
Welcome to week 16 of the fantasy football season. I'm Corey Benigni of thehuddle.com. Let's go through some strong plays to help get you into the championship round. Quarterback Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals versus Baltimore Raven. The last time these teams met was in week 7 in Baltimore, and Burrow exploded for 416 yards and a trio of touchdown strikes. However, he's coming off his worst showing in more than a month, and it's understandable if gamers are a little bit nervous. He has a get-right game against a Ravens secondary that has been hampered by injuries and is even weaker than it was the last time they met. Look for another huge showing from the 2020 number one overall pick. Running back James Robinson, Jacksonville Jaguars at New York Jets. Another highly talented player who's been a little bit shaky over recent weeks, Robinson has a matchup that is elite. The Jaguars are committed to Robinson now that Urban Meyer isn't in the picture, and it should only get better in Week 16. Running backs have averaged the third most yards on the ground against this defense in 2021, and no team has given up more than 16 rushing touchdowns behind the 23 allowed by the Jets. There's a huge opportunity for a late-season surge from the second year back. Green Bay Packers wide receiver Allen Lazard versus Cleveland Browns. In Week 14, it was Lazard who functioned as the number two target for Aaron Rodgers. Last Sunday, it was Marquez Valdez-Scantling, leaving the former Cyclone to finish the day with 23 yards on two catches. He should have had a touchdown in the fourth quarter, but Rodgers overshot him. On Christmas, Lazard might be in position to deliver a big game with MVS on the COVID list, although a speedy teammate could clear the protocol, so keep tabs on the situation. Lazard is an interesting risk-reward option thanks to the consistent double teams on Devontae Adams, just as long as Marquez Valdez-Scantling isn't in the picture. Noah Fant, tight end, Denver Broncos at Las Vegas Raiders. Drew Lock is likely to start for the injured Teddy Bridgewater. The Broncos really can't get much worse in the passing game, but we like Fant to finish in the top five among his positional mates. Fant has posted 50-plus yards in consecutive games, and he has at least four catches and 50-plus yards in three of the last five. He hasn't scored since week 6, but that came against this matchup. Play Fant if you don't have a clear option for more points, but the matchup is among the best of the week. Best of luck getting to the championship round, and have a Merry Christmas. For award-winning tips, news, information, and advice, please be sure to check out thehuddle.com.
That was your Tipico Sportsbook Fantasy Minute. Win your fantasy football league with thehuddle.com and use them to dominate player prop bets at Tipico Sportsbook. For a limited time, new Tipico Sportsbook users in Colorado and New Jersey from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's USA
usatodaybet.com/podcast. See tipico.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's our questions of the week, a lightning round for Dan on three questions that he was not prepped on. And here's question number one. Dan kind of hinted at it in that last segment. If the Giants do go external to replace Dave Gettleman, and we would be surprised if this happened, but if he does, who would top your list on your wish list for the next GM?
There are actually a lot of good options out there right now for the Giants to pick from. Whether or not these guys will be interested, or the Giants will be interested in them, you know, time will tell. But, you know, you got really genuinely talented executives and personnel guys out there for the taking. Scott Pioli, obviously, is a name that immediately jumps off the top of the list. Elliot Wolf is another one. You got Ed Dodds, who is red hot right now coming out of Indianapolis. Will McClay in Dallas. I don't think for a single second that Jerry Jones is going to let him go, though.
I thought you were going to say Mike McCarthy.
No. In-house, you've got guys like Kyle O'Brien, but I can't imagine that he would be promoted over, you know, Kevin Abrams, but it is certainly an option. You know, John Dorsey's out there. I don't know how realistic that is. There are some intriguing names, certainly. There's also a lot of young and upcoming potential GM talent out there if you go further down the list. Again, the pool is deep if you're going to allow them to come in and take over. The pool not nearly as deep if you know, everything is going to be forced on them. So I think that's going to be the key when it comes to any potential external hire. There's certainly going to be external interviews. There's no doubt about that. So I'll be curious to see who they are. I'll be curious to see who's willing to take those interviews, given the Giants situation, because I have a feeling they may get denied a time or two. But, you know, we'll see in the next few weeks. It's certainly going to play out. I'm also beginning to mull over the possibility that rather than firing Dave Gettleman, he may take a reduced role. And I'm a little fearful of that, where it's a scenario where it's like, oh, hey, Kevin Abrams is GM now and Dave Gettleman's his assistant general manager.
Yeah. Yeah, that could happen.
I could very much see that scenario playing out as well. So we'll see.
All right, we'll keep picking away at that question over the next couple of weeks for sure. Question number two, the Giants signed Jalen Smith, as you mentioned in the first segment, Dan. And you talk about comical. Jalen Smith. I mean, Jalen Smith was cut by Dallas, picked up by the Packers, and then they released him pretty quickly after that. He's kind of washed, I think, at this point. And the Giants signed him to their practice squad, promote him, and actually put him on the field. And as you said, he was one of the players that stuck out to you. He actually played okay, which is surprising to me, because I thought this was just kind of let's pick up Jalen Smith to get some intel type of deal. I thought that's what the Giants were doing with him. I was surprised that he went on the field, but I guess here's where the question comes is, you know, the end of the game, he was kind of celebrating and dapping it up with his former Cowboys teammates, right? And I guess the question is, was this a new low for these 2021 Giants? You know, putting basically a Cowboy on the field in a Giants uniform and kind of letting him dance it up as the Cowboys are kneeling out the clock. That was tough to watch. I don't know how many Giants fans are still watching, but you could find those clips on social. It's not a good look.
It's not a good look. And I was surprised by how many Giants fans actually dismissed it. Like, oh, who cares? I think that's reflective of the state of the team, because I think that's where it really is. Who cares at this
who
point?
Cares? Yep.
But the lower and lower you get, the worse the culture is. You know, once you get into that losing culture, it's really hard to break out of it, as we've seen, you know, and when you start compounding it with things like Fan Appreciation Day, where you give away a free medium Pepsi, and you're signing guys off the street and you have to start them due to injury and illness, and then they're celebrating in your uniform on the field with the clock still ticking for the other team, that's embarrassing. That's a new low in my personal opinion. I was not a fan of it. Quite frankly, if I was the coach of the team, as well as Jalen Smith played, he wouldn't be on my team anymore. But obviously the Giants and Judge took a different approach with that, signed him to their active roster, and chances are he's going to start this weekend. Maybe this time around he won't celebrate with the Eagles as the clock winds down, though.
Yeah, he's a Cowboy. That's why he probably hates the Eagles, at least.
I understand that he's got a brotherhood on that team. I have no problem with him exchanging jerseys, dapping it up after the game. That's not what happened, though, and that's my issue with it. He did a Cowboys-specific celebration on the defensive side of the ball while everybody's in place to run a play. That blows my mind. That is a new low, like I said, in my opinion, for this organization.
Yeah, and it was the highlight of Jalen Smith's season. was that little dance he did while they were kneeling out the clock. Okay, and this kind of all plays into this question you put out on the Giants Wire, and I'm going to throw it at you just so you can respond to it. Question number three, buy or sell that this is the worst period in the 96-year history of the Giants franchise that we're living through and suffering through right now?
Well, in my lifetime, it is.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt about it. In my lifetime, it is very easily the worst stretch. Arguably, I would say, going back even further, you got to put it up there with the wilderness years because, listen, the Giants were bottomed out for a long stretch of time in the 70s and even briefly in the early 80s. And it was a bad time. They were doing the same thing they were doing now, you know, double digit loss seasons, finishing in last place, cycling through head coaches like nobody's business, changing personnel, making all these constant changes. It was, like I said, it was almost the same thing. It was like every 2 years, 2.5 years, it was a new coach who came in. It was very much the same situation. The Giants were a laughing stock at the time. They were a doormat, and it's really no different now. So for people who didn't grow up during that era, this is very easily the worst stretch in their entire history as a Giants fan. You could make the argument that maybe this isn't the worst stretch ever in the history of the organization, but the fact that you're even having that conversation, and the conversation is just, shows you just how bad things are. Maybe if this kind of losing is prolonged for any, you know, additional length of time, I think it's a given that it's the worst scenario. But the Giants can still pump the brakes on this and turn things around and make it the second worst stretch in Giants history. And that's the low goals we're chasing right now in East Rutherford.
Yeah, it's rough. Now we're now at 10 losses, and I've known that it's been a struggle. But then you go back and you look at the last few years, they've lost 10 or more games in 5 consecutive seasons.
And like, 7 of 8.
And 7 of 8. So that is... that's rough. Right? Like last year, you almost forget because last year was kind of fun, but it was still a double-digit loss season, even though we had that little playoff push. You know, that was kind of a fake playoff push. You know, this is definitely one of the worst stretches of NFL futility, right? This is like the old Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is the Detroit Lions, the Browns. And you know, remember the Browns and Bengals with their fans, those Ohioans with the bags on their heads? Like, this is where we're getting to.
And you know, you're in the midst of that level of futility when you start seeing jabs at the Giants on every television program, even things that don't have to do with football. And I see it all the time. Newscasters making jokes about how bad the Giants are, comparing them to whatever bad story they're talking about. You can watch sitcoms and television shows and SportsCenter, any of it, pregame shows, and the Giants are routinely being mocked. They are the example of, like I said before, futility. And when you start becoming synonymous with failure, with ineptitude, with comical things like free Pepsi giveaways, you're in a really, really bad spot. I don't know if the Giants have bottomed out yet, but they're pretty damn close.
Well, it's going to feel like that if they get blown out by Philly. And that's who's next on the schedule. Could be Jake Fromm starting. The Giants are big underdogs. We'll talk about that spread, and we'll try to suffer through talking through that matchup right after this.
This is the Tipico Sportsbook Minute. Let's make this interesting.
What's up? This is Jeff Clark from the Bet Slippin' Podcast, presented by SportsbookWire.com. I'm here with my homie Nathan Beagle to break down this week's Sunday night football game between the Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys. Our friends at Tipico Sportsbook have the Dallas Cowboys favored 9.5 points and the total sitting at 47.5. I'm on the under 47.5 here. This is a pros versus Joes game, as more money has been on the under, but more bets have been placed on the over. Typically in sports betting, it's wise to follow the money, especially when it's counter to the public. Also, Cowboys offense has regressed. They've hit the under in 7 of the last 8 games, and Washington's offense just isn't that good. They've hit under in 7 of the last 9 games. Nate, how are you betting this Washington-Dallas game?
I'm rolling with Dallas by 10 or more. Washington is still banged up, has players on the COVID list, and has the league's second worst third down conversion rate for opponents. With Dallas tied at 11-3 for the best covering teams in the league, I'd rather bet against them than for them. Also, they started up 24-0 in these two teams' first matchup. Give me Dallas by 10.
That was your Tipico Sportsbook Minute. For a limited time, new users in Colorado and New Jersey from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. See Tipico.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado.
All right, looking at Tipico, Dan. Giants are 9.5-point dogs heading to Philly. This is an Eagles team that they just played on Tuesday night. So kind of a super short rest week for them. But we've been checking the line since last night. We're recording here on Wednesday morning. The line has not moved. It's still 9.5. And that's probably because Jake Fromm is starting, right? That's probably why that line's not going to budge. Sports bettors are going to think, or odds makers are going to think, that the Eagles are going to win by double digits. And I think I would have to agree. I don't know if I'm picking the Giants to cover any kind of spread right now. And if Fromm gets the start, and that's what it seems like, 9.5 points in Philly, I think the Giants, they know how to play Philly defensively, right? They did a good job in that first meeting, but I think I'd have to side with Philly if Fromm's starting. What do you think?
I don't care who's starting. I'm going to pick Philly in this game.
Yeah, that's not any knock on Fromm. I'm not picking them with Glennon either. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not taking the Giants either way. I don't have any faith that they can score points. I really don't. It doesn't matter who's in a quarterback. Really, for me, it's the Eagles and an easy win. You know, are they going to win by double digits? I think that really falls more in line with how the Giants' defense plays. If they play as well as they did last week, and I think that really gets overshadowed by the fact that it was another loss, because I thought they played, you know, pretty well, maybe even exceptionally well, considering what they were going up against, and the desperation that Dallas faces to get their offense going. I thought the Giants did a really good job. Are they going to be able to do that against the Eagles this week? Listen, they held them to 7 points last time, so I don't want to say that they have their number, but I certainly think that they play them well defensively, and I still think, despite the fact that the Giants are 4-10, there's going to be this determination to beat Philly and, you know, maybe potentially cost them a playoff spot and return the favor from last year.
They're going to go for it. I mean, they're going to try to play. I just think, you know, if Fromm is starting, how the hell do we beat Philly? Like, I don't know.
That's the problem. I just don't think. Listen, over the last several games, this is the Giants' offensive output: 10 points, 13 points, 9 points.
Yeah, I was just pulling this up.
Right, 21 points, and that 14 of those came in garbage time.
The explosion.
And then
6 points.
So the Giants' offense isn't just bad; it's almost non-existent and getting worse remarkably. It's certainly not going to get any better this week. Maybe Kadarius Toney finds a way to return, and you know, maybe I'll give 3 to 5 points for him being on the field if he can stay on there for full 4 quarters. But that's probably going to be the extent of it. If the Giants are going to score, it's probably going to end up being garbage time again.
Yeah, it's been, what, 4 weeks since the Giants hosted Philly and exploded for 13 points.
Yeah, their whole big 13.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we had that big eruption, 21 against the Chargers. Yeah, I mean, their point scoring has been, and that's been a thing for years, but this year it's like it's taken a new hit. I mean, this offense is just unbelievable. And that's probably
amazing?
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what's amazing to me is there are actually offenses in this league worse than the Giants, which just that just blows my mind. That in the modern NFL, where the Giants are scoring, I don't know, I don't have it in front of me right now, but it's got to be like, I don't know, 16.5 points per game, somewhere around that average.
Yeah, probably
there
Detroit.
There are two teams in the NFL that are scoring less points than that. That's amazing.
It's got to be the Lions, right? The Lions are one of them.
Who was it? It was the Lions and the Texans?
That might be it, yeah. Or the Bears.
Something like that.
The Bears
pretty
don't
bad.
Score either. Yeah,
pretty bad.
Yeah, but, you know, you're – it's not the company you want to keep. Okay, so I noticed that the total did move. It went from 42.5 to 40.5, and it's probably because of exactly what we're talking about here, and probably the fact that the first game there was no points scored either, right? The Giants did a good job defending Jalen Hurts. They made him throw the ball, and they were able to pick him off, stop him in the red zone, stop him around the goal line, and they were pretty good. So 40.5, I always try to stay away from lines like this if I'm trying to bet a game. 40.5, that's... it's too low. It's kind of creepy. It's hard to bet that. You want to pick the over because, like, maybe they'll luck their way into some scoring at some point, right? Like maybe some defensive scores, something to get that the total over 40. But probably not, right? We probably should go under. The thing is, it's trucking down. Yeah,
it feels like deja vu because I swear we had this exact same conversation last week.
Probably.
I don't know. The Giants can't score. That's just all there is to it. Like I looked at the line last week and thought for sure that with the Cowboys alone, they would go over that total. I didn't account for the fact that the Giants could score 7 points. Granted, they did hold Dallas down too, and that very well may be the case again this week. And I'm almost leaning under for that reason alone, just because the Giants, they literally cannot score, and they only held Philly to 7 points. And I think Philly's going to score more than 7 points this time, but are they going to score enough to eat up 40 points on the spread? And I don't think that's going to be the case. So for me personally, this week, I'm going to pick the Eagles to win outright. I'm going to pick the under. I'm not 100% sure about the spread, though. That could go either way.
Yeah, I was definitely wrong last week. I took the over against the Cowboys. I thought the Giants would hit a big play or get something against it because their defense is aggressive. You know, I mean, the reason they intercept the ball is because usually they take chances to intercept the ball. But, you know, the quarterback's usually not throwing it right to them. You know, so that's what Glennon was doing. So yeah, it's not like he made it hard on them. But I thought there'd be some points where I've learned my lesson. If I'm betting this total, I'm going under. You know, last week was I learned my lesson last week, Dan.
Well, listen, we may go through the next 3 weeks and the Giants may not score another point.
Yeah, it's definitely possible to get shut out against Philly with Fromm starting. Yeah. There's no question. But it's gonna be it'll be interesting at least, right? It'll give us some content. I hope he plays. I want to see it. Let's do it. This is it's good for the show. It's good for Giants Wire, right? Fans want it. Let's do it.
That's it at this point. Like people, like I said, to start the show, people are, they're completely checked out. The only vested interest they have is what they're going to see from Fromm. And that's, I don't know. That just speaks volumes about
what are we really hoping for there? What are we really hoping for there?
Yeah,
I mean, if watching the current quarterback play doesn't make you be like, oh boy, I miss Daniel Jones, then I don't know what we're talking about here. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. There are still people who tell you that Glennon is better than Jones.
No,
so.
Nope. That thing's been put to bed. So, all right, Dan, I hope you have a good holiday weekend. I hope you can get some time away from the football team here. And then, you know, dig in and I'll be watching your tweets. They're always hilarious. And it's always fun to watch you tweeting during a Giants-Eagles game. So I'll be watching, my man. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Have a Merry Christmas. Enjoy your holidays. And everybody listen and enjoy the holidays as well.
This USA Today Sports Podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.